Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, thank you for your word. It's a challenging word because it's difficult to understand. Things are different than we expect. But we pray that you will help us to work it out in our minds and to hear the truth that you have for us in it. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Sister Mary worked for a home health agency, and she was making her rounds visiting homebound patients when she ran out of gas. As luck would have it, there was a gas station just a block away. So she walked to the station to borrow a gas can and to buy some gas to put in the car. And the attendant told her that the only gas can he had to loan out was already loaned out. But if she waited for a little bit, he would come back and then she could use it. Well, she decided that she didn't want to wait. So she walked back to her car and she looked for something in her car that she could fill with gas, and she spotted the bedpan that she was taking to the patient. Always resourceful, she carried the bedpan back to the gas station, filled it with gas, and carried it back to her car. And as she was pouring the gas into the tank out of the bedpan, what if there were two guys across the street watching, and one of them said to the other, "If it starts, I'm turning Catholic." Now, I don't think that's a true story, but it could easily be. But it reminds us that we see things and we hear things at times in our lives as, man, that's just crazy. Especially when we don't know the whole story. And there's a lot of this sense of craziness in the Bible. Think for a moment. Think of the feeding of the 5,000. Here's 5,000 men plus women and children sitting on the hillside. Jesus turns to his disciples and says, "Why don't you feed them?" "With what, Jesus?" And Andrew comes up and says, "Well, there's this little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus says, "That's good enough." He blessed it, and they passed it out. Everybody was fed, and they got 30 baskets full of bread and fish and other stuff at the end. Crazy, right? In today's gospel, we get a sense of how even the people in his own time thought he was crazy or even insane. Let's look at the reading from Mark again. People were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of demons, he casts out demons," which is a crazy thing to say. David Lose, who writes the blog workingpreacher.com.org, wrote a post about this blog, or about this gospel passage, and he says, "What's going on? How was Jesus' ministry of preaching and teaching and healing creating such controversy and accusation?" He said, "Really, I think the answer is fairly simple. Jesus is so totally what the religious authorities don't expect that they have absolutely no idea what to make of him. He doesn't fit their categories. And what doesn't fit our categories, we typically label abnormal or deviant or crazy or possessed. We assume that what we know, what we have experienced and hold to be true is normal, natural, God-ordained. And that because the standard by which we measure and judge the thoughts and actions of others. And I think that's what's going on here. Even his own family believed that he needed to keep quiet. As we heard in the story, they're outside this crowd of people standing there wanting to take him home because he's embarrassing the family. And they want to keep him safe. Any family wants to hide the one who seems to always be making a fool of him or herself. Even his mother Mary Mary is in the family group and she wants to take her son home. Hide him. Protect him. Bob Cornwall, in a blog entitled Ponderings on a Faith Journey, writes about Mary. It would seem that even his mother is fit to be tied by his outlandish behavior. Now, this isn't the mother portrayed in the Gospel of John, who was there at the beginning of the and encouraging Jesus to use his power to change to make wine for a wedding. And Mark, the family is concerned that Jesus could get himself in trouble with the authorities. Remember that the religious authorities and political authorities in the time of Jesus are often one and the same. Perhaps for disturbing the peace or for even preaching less than acceptable doctrines. The last thing that a family needs is a religious fanatic who not only disturbs the peace but brings unnecessary attention to the family. If they could only get to him and drag him home, perhaps they could keep him safe and keep his family out of trouble. Jesus is calling for change. And people generally are not ready or willing to change. People do not like the status quo to be disruptive, or disrupted. As I've often said, tongue in cheek, but seriously, I know what I like and I like what I know. They know what the status quo demands of them. They have made it work for them. And in this case, especially with the scribes and the Pharisees, the status quo was the laws and the interpretation of the law by those same two big groups. Again, Loos writes about this. His ministry thus far has been about announcing both a new vision of God and a new way of relating to God. And at the heart of that vision and the way is the conviction that God is love. That God desires health and healing of all God's creation. That God stands both with us and for us. That God is determined to love and redeem us, no matter what the cost. And that this God chooses to be accessible to all of us, indeed to anyone and everyone. That's why Jesus sets himself against all the powers that would rob humanity and creation of the abundant life that God intends. Whether those powers be unclean spirits, diseases that ravage the mind, body, or spirit, illnesses that isolate and separates those who suffer from community, or whatever. Jesus introduces a new vision of God, a new way to relate to God. And it's not the way any of those, or make that any of us, would religious folk would expect. And Loos says, why? Because at the heart of religion, the heart of religion is designed to regulate our worship and relationship with God. The root of the word, which comes from the Latin word legare, to bind, which supplies the roots of the words ligament, tissue that binds together, and obligation, the duties to which one is bound. So in other words, religion then most often serves to connect us again to God by specifying the actions, the duties, and the obligations that we should undertake out of reverence to God. And the Jewish religious hierarchy have figured it out in their own minds and have demanded that the people follow their interpretation of the laws and the rituals. But you see, for them, it was not only a case of reverence to God. It was also their jobs were on the line. We have talked a number of times in our Thursday morning Bible study that the Roman government gave the religious authorities their right to continue as the religious and, to a certain degree, political authority as long as they kept the peace. The minute that peace began to fall apart, they would lose their freedom. Thus, to them, Jesus is the crazy bowl in a china shop. It could ruin everything. And then I would ask, are we any different today? Jesus' words and actions seem just as crazy to many today. And I'm not talking to just about atheists and non-believers. I'm talking about Christians too. Many say they believe him, but they cannot forgive like he said we should, 70 times 7. In other words, all the time. Good Christians cannot love their enemies like he said we should. Many still judge other people when he said we should not judge people. He said turn the other cheek. But we often say we should smite our enemies. He was God's son, but like his family, we want to keep him in the closet and hidden to protect him and to protect us. Anna Carter Florence, who is the Peter Marshall Professor of Preaching at Columbia Presbyterian Seminary in Atlanta, once said in a Preaching Moments video, she was referring to one of the post-resurrection scenes in Luke, where the men take the woman's testimony as an idle tale. But the Greek word used for idol, leros, which forms the root of our word delirious, would better be translated as out of their minds. You know, crazy, insane, possessed. So the disciples were saying of those women who came back from the tomb, who said, he's risen, he's alive. You're out of your minds. You're possessed. What's wrong with you? Maybe that is why we're afraid to talk about our faith. We don't want to be labeled as one of those crazy, insane religious fanatics. Is that what is holding you back from sharing your faith? I said a number of times, again, tongue in cheek, but I so it's serious. A lot of things that I see people doing, good Christian people, and I see what they're doing and saying, and I think to myself, they're considered the sane ones. Well, if that's the case, then I want to be insane. We need a church made up of people crazy enough to believe and share the gospel. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4:10, we are fools for Christ's sake. Or maybe you should say, we are fools for Christ's sake. However you want to hear that. We need people to be fools for Christ. And by fools, I mean people crazy enough to share the gospel, to share the love of Christ with everybody. Are you? Am I insane enough to do that? I certainly hope so. I certainly hope so. Amen.